Thanks for calling First Direct. One of our customer representatives will be with you as soon as they can.
Hello, it's First Direct. What's your surname and initial?
My surname is Money. M-O-N-E-Y.
And your initial?
S.
Right, I don't have your details with that postcode in, Mr. Money.
I'm not an existing customer. Is that a problem?
Yeah, you've called the customer line, so tell me, what's your query?
So, I've recently come into a spell of good fortune and have been lucky enough to receive £600, and I wanted to upload it to your bank, as we are to do these days. But why I'm calling is I wanted to know, will you have space in the cloud for this volume of funds?
I think we would do, Mr. Money, but what you would need to do is you would need to open an account with us in order to have your funds transferred into the account. But yeah, if you have got an iPhone, you know, I'm sure there'll be enough room there within the cloud for you to put this money into the account.
Okay, and you could fly it up there today, would you? It doesn't look a very nice day for it.
It really doesn't look a very nice day today to fly that up to the cloud. No.
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, perhaps you could put it something smaller, perhaps some fog. I've been slightly worried that some pilots might nick it, you see. I mean, if I saw £600, I know I'd pinch it.
I don't think you'd be flying up there in the clouds or beside that, would you?
No, I don't have my pilot's license. So you said if I open an account, you'd have enough for £600 sterling.
Definitely we would. Do you want me to give you the account, the telephone number to open an account with us?
Yeah, please.
Let me just go and I'll get the number for our account opening team and you can give them a call.
Fantastic.
So the number to call is 03456 00 2424.
Fantastic.
So give them a call and they should be able to help you.
I will. You've been fantastically helpful.
You too. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Coming up on Money Bites by Smart Money People.
You know, we're going cashless, whether you like it or not.
Well, I don't like it, mate. I really don't. Look, the fact is, most people just don't trust them enough to switch over their salaries.
I'd like to pay by cheque, please. I just don't trust fancy computers, you see. They get hacked by those cheeky North Koreans.
This is a bank.
We have Norris Koppel, the founder and CEO of Moniz. So, Norris, what is your favourite type of cheese?
They processed only the one form and were completely unable to locate the others sent. Apologies were meagre.
I am sorry.
Welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People.
Coming up on today's show, we're tackling app-based current accounts. Can we trust apps promising to fulfil all our current account needs?
So, what do we have to look forward to today? We'll have Norris Koppel, CEO of Moniz, to discuss the changing face of digital banking. We'll have a listen to one of the classic reviews left on Smart Money People. And we've put the telephone banking teams of First Direct and Starling Bank to the test in our weekly prank calls.
But first, it's time to lace up those gloves and enter the ring as I take on the formidable Nate in Fighting Talk.
Time to lace up those gloves. It's Mike versus Nate in this week's Fighting Talk.
This week, we sent our producer Eddie out to the streets to ask members of the public if they trust app-based current accounts. Eddie, what did the good people of London have to say?
So, I think I would. At the very least, I'd trust them with the money that I use for everyday spending.
To be honest, no, not really. I like to have a big institution behind my money when I do my banking.
I use app banking with the NatWest, but I know I've got a NatWest on the high street and sometimes I go in there.
For everyday spending and small amounts of money, I don't really mind. But if I had a larger problem, I'd like to know that there was a physical building I could go to maybe get some help.
I'd worry about the safety of my money and my legal recourse if anything did happen, compared to like a big listed company or bank.
Each week, me and Nate will battle it out in a brainy bout and eventually crown champion. This week, I'll be arguing that no, we can't trust app-only current accounts, while Nate will argue that yes, we can give them our trust. So Nate, go ahead, take the first swing.
Let's go. Mike, I think the future is mobile, and actually today is mobile. So when people leave reviews on Smart Money People, they say that apps are the preferred way to bank. And I mean, it's entirely possible to spend an afternoon or day in the Trafford Centre or Westfield and not even need to touch your wallet. You literally just tap and go with your phone, as long as it's got Apple Pay, Google Pay on it. You know, we're going cashless, whether you like it or not.
Well, I don't like it, Nate. I really don't. Look, the fact is, most people just don't trust them enough to switch over their salaries. Like, Monzo have been pushing their Full Monzo campaign for the last few months. Because, look, millions of us open up these app-only accounts because it's bloody easy to do it. But until we move our pay into these accounts, well, it's just a bit of a nice to have. And ultimately, you still want that full service. You still want to walk into a branch. You still want to pick up the phone, particularly when things go wrong, right? You want to be able to chat through things with a human being called Nate.
You know what, Mike? You need to swap your walking stick for a mobile, because maybe 10 years ago, branches were the preferred way to bank. But you know what? These apps, you say full service, these apps are full service too. You know, there's no need to queue in branch, fill out forms, you know, sign up to the product in branch. You can just do it in a few swipes, a few clicks on your mobile. Why not? We're all busy enough as it is. I mean, when I opened a Starnia account a month ago, it took me a minute. First Direct, it took me about a month. You know, Monzo's adding 35,000 customers a week.
Look, apps are still very much the future, but there is a bit of a dark side to the growth of apps. It's made it easier for big banks to close up branches, which actually is hurting older people. People like your mum, your dad, your grandparents, who actually rely and want that kind of service. That same data that you talked about over 20% of people over 65 plus still wanting to walk into that branch. And I think the fact is, look, managing accounts via apps is cheaper for banks. It costs them a lot less. So of course the banks want you to move over to their apps and to trust them. But the rise of app-only current accounts is actually leading to poorer service for older customers.
Mike, apps aren't just for trendy millennials, okay? So even for over 65s, they're telling us that their most preferred way to bank is through digital channels. And, you know, I feel really strongly about this, but I don't think it's an either-or situation when it comes to branches or apps. Branches are declining because more are moving to digital channels, you know, young and old.
Look, the fact remains, when something difficult crops up, you want to be able to speak to someone and not be driven up the wall by a bot named Bob.
You know what? You can speak to someone, though, Mike. You can speak to someone in app. You know, when it comes to trust, Monzo's own insight shows that they're 4 times better at preventing card fraud.
But they would say that, wouldn't they, Nate?
Okay, fair point, maybe. But these app-based banks, they're built for mobile users, you know, from the ground up, okay? And that means, I think, not just better security, potentially, but better reliability too. I mean, how often do you see these big banks in the news because the online banking is not working or people can't access the ATMs? I mean, look at NatWest just several weeks ago. People can even log on to their website. And don't get me started on TSB, Mike.
Look, that's certainly a fair point, Nate. And it's definitely true that app-based current accounts and the newer breeds of the Starlings and the Monzos are running on much newer tech, which makes it a lot easier for them to manage than the kind of clunky legacy systems that the likes of Barclays have to contend with.
This isn't the Wild West, absolutely. I mean, digital banks, they're regulated the same way by the Financial Conduct Authority, the FCA, as traditional banks. You know, some, admittedly not all, too, are protected by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme, FSCS, which is effectively an insurance policy for your money that's in a current account or a savings account.
I think trust, Nate, is about how you do things. And when it comes to fintech current accounts, it's really just not always obvious how they make money, right? Most of them are actually heavily loss-making at this point. And how are they using your data to make money? Because lots of things appear to be free and easy to sign up to, but ultimately, they're companies with investors and they're out to make some money.
The devil isn't always in the data. So let's have a look, for example, at branch customers, particularly those at regional building societies. Now, you might bear with me on this, okay?
Oh, bear with you.
They love personal service. Yeah, they love
to
be understood as an individual. Apps and online banking, I agree with your point, they can be pretty faceless. You kind of lose that kind of personalization to a degree. But data, I believe, is the solution to that. And customers are willing to trade their data, I think, for a better experience. So Netflix recommendations, they're a great example of this. I mean, you can look at Amazon too. You know, when it comes to banking, it could mean best fit products. And Starlings, for example, they've got personalized spending categories. You know, people are looking for feedback and guidance from the bank. And that's what data can enable. So data helps a more personal relationship naturally transpire.
Oh, Nate, we've hit the big data debate. So data's meant to be the new oil, don't you know? But our data is obviously valuable, right? And knowing what we spend our money on, as well as when and where, it's really valuable to a range of companies. You've got a lot of companies talking about using our data to help us, but is that really always the case?
Yeah, we heard in the Vox Pop, Mike, you know, that the longer these companies are around, like Maniz, Revolut, Starling and Monzo, the more track record they'll have. And that'll make them a bit better known and maybe even more trusted by more people too.
I think that's a great point, Nate. Apps are obviously becoming really important. And for most of us, yeah, we can manage our finances really well using an app-based current account. But the rise of app-based accounts won't be kind to everyone, and it is making it harder for people that don't trust them or can't use them. We talk about older people, but there's people with Wi-Fi issues that just can't get the connectivity that you need.
Okay, Mike, it looks like that's the time limit, so there's been no clear knockout. Let's take it to our judge producer, Eddie. So, Eddie, can you trust app-based current accounts?
At the beginning of this debate, my ideas would have fallen in line with the customers we heard at the beginning of this segment. Actually, now, Nate, you've convinced me that, yes, I can. I can trust app-only current accounts. They are FCA regulated. Customers are protected up to certain amounts of money. And, I mean, I think, you know, Mike, you make a good point that they're not for everyone. A lot of people won't feel comfortable using app banking, and that's just not going to change. But, Nate, I thought you laid out a perfect case as to why that might be true. That doesn't make them untrustworthy. And so for that reason, I think there's one clear winner this week, and it's Nate.
Welcome to Starling Bank. Please wait a moment while we connect you to an available agent. I note your call will be recorded for training and quality purposes.
Good morning, Starling Bank. I'm not going to help.
Oh, hello, dear. Is this the Bank of Starlings?
Starling Bank, yeah.
Oh, great. I have a robin and a bluebird at home, you see, and I'd like to buy a starling bird from y'all so they can have a new friend to play with. I think I'll call them the Mighty Three.
This is a bank.
Well, that's okay, dear. I don't mind if it's secondhand, but I'd like to pay by check, please. I just don't trust fancy computers, you see. They get hacked by those cheeky North Koreans.
Okay, I'm not sure I understand what you're talking about, sir.
But I promise I'll look after my starling bird. You see, dear, I even got a Blue Peter badge for finding a cat when I was a nipper.
That's a good one, though. That is a good one. I would like to get that and put it on our social media. That is a good one.
It was the 8th of March, 1978, and the postman, well, I think his name was Pat, and he had lost his cat. And I went all around the town looking for him. I was shouting, Jess, 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 for hours. And I found him, gave him back to Pat, and won me that Blue Peter badge.
Wow. Was he purple, or was he black? Or was he blue?
I think he was black.
Black. Black is not bad as well.
He was a lovely cat. I loved him. So, how much for your starling birds?
We don't sell them.
Oh, okay, dear. Well, look, maybe there'll be no Mighty Three today, but one day the birds will rise up and run the world. Good day.
Have a good day.
Time to fire up the hot seat as Mike welcomes another guest in to grill the big cheese.
This week, we spoke to Norris Koppel, founder and CEO at Maniz. We loved having Norris in our office, so make sure to stay tuned until the end of the interview to hear a round of the world's greatest fintech confectionery competition, Skittlemania. Norris, firstly, thank you for joining us. Tell us, who are Maniz?
I'm very happy to be here. Maniz is basically a financial services provider or a current account provider that really wants to give customers the freedom to thrive anywhere in the world, financially thrive. What this means in our language is we started in the UK, but right now we are in 31 countries, and our aim is to be truly global, which means that you as a customer, once you are with Maniz and have the app and card, you can travel anywhere in the world, you can set up a new shop, you can move to a new country permanently, and we are there with you every step of the way in your own language. We currently support 30 languages and all that, and we can give you everything that you would want from a financial services provider, not just an account and a card, but also a remittance, saving products, credit, plus money management tools.
Tell us a bit more about the kind of pain points that kind of brought you to thinking about Moniz and bringing it to life.
As you can hear from the accent, I'm clearly not British, and when I moved over here to London, I struggled with account opening. And I had all my ducks in a row in my own country, and I had, you know, good credit history and all that. But sadly, the big bank declined my account opening application just because I didn't have a utility bill in London. So I just took offense, really, and I decided to do something about it. And here we are now. So we are an incredibly open-minded financial services provider. And our idea is that anyone who is legal, who has identity document, should really be given real-time access to financial services. And that should really not be your pain point when you move countries. That should be the last thing you want to worry about, really.
And it's fair to say Moniz has come a very long way in the last 5 years. I believe you passed the 1 million customer mark in May, which is a massive milestone.
1.4 now.
1.4 now, that's huge. How did you celebrate?
We literally didn't celebrate, so we had a cup of tea and we marched on pretty much. Now on to the next milestone, which is 10 million.
And what is next for Moniz? I know you talked about, you know, the kind of global aspirations and supporting more customers in their native languages and the marketplace. But what is the ultimate vision? Where do you think Moniz will be in the next 5 years?
So we, I can give you all sorts of answers. I can talk about wonderful growth where millions of people will happily enjoying Moniz and all that. And I can also talk about market expansion. And this is everything that we do, of course, as well. But I'm more focused on sort of giving customers a truly global product that changes the way you consume financial services or banking service today. So I think we are on this top of this wave at the moment, this innovation and fintech wave that really pushes the boundaries here. And, you know, we already innovated in KYC or identity checks when we launched in 2015. We're the first ones to do 2-minute onboarding real time, and it doesn't matter where you're coming from. So basically what we are aiming to do is making customers' life, especially international, incredibly easy. And that means you know, we have grown massively, and the product is in a really good shape. But again, with such growth we have been doing some corner cutting in terms of product experience, for example, and so on. So I think now we are really going to be focusing in the sort of the next year or so. We are really focusing on improving the experience generally, just to make sure that things are top of the top. So that's I think the next sort of a challenge for the next 6 months to 1 year. But beyond that, you know, marching on and giving customers the ability to live their life in a sort of a careless way. And when I say careless, I don't mean spending money in a sort of a frivolous way, but really sort of helping customers to take some of the worry away. Because when you think customers, the main cause of stress for everyone is lack of money or spending, you know, too much that you don't have and going into debt and so on. So that's where we're trying to help.
In that journey, so we talked about going from 0 to 1.4 million and more customers in 5 years. That sounds incredible. And in that time, a lot has changed in the banking landscape in the UK. We've had the likes of Monzo and Starling and Revolut and N26 even joining us here in the UK. What do you think really sets Moniz apart? And what would you like customers to think about as the real differentiator for Moniz?
All these companies are doing an amazing job. And I mean, we collectively are changing the way banking is done, which is awesome, because this sector hasn't changed for so long. And customers, right now, it's really the best time to be alive as a consumer of banking products. So this is, I think, where we are doing similarly very good job. Now, I think, again, there are various players in the UK and let's say Europe, wider Europe, who are going after, you know, a little bit different groups of people, really a little bit different experiences. Some sort of neobanks are going after, let's say they have openly said that they're going after millennials, or they are building a better experience and so on. Some are doing marketplaces. So I think where we are slightly different is that, first of all, we are aiming to solve a real problem, which is, you know, because of lack of, let's say, utility bills and so on. We are really making things possible for those people who are moving between countries, so borderless generation, so to speak. And I found that this is a pretty sort of a unique focus, first of all. And secondly, the way we have always thought about how our service and product should evolve, our eyes have always been on a sort of a global mission here. So us being in 31 countries right now and providing multi-currency accounts and having our customers using us as a salary account, their main account that they trust explicitly with their whole income, I think that's also pretty unique and rare.
So you talked about trust, and obviously for many consumers there's always a bit of a trust gap, and sometimes with so many different providers coming in, it's sometimes hard to get a sense of which providers are good and can I trust them and should I move away. You talked about the main account. Should I move away from the likes of Barclays or HSBC? Do you think customers can trust app-only banks, digital banks?
I guess the way trust is being perceived by customers is also changing slightly. In a good old days, banks were saying, oh, they're 100, 200 years old, and that was supposed to convey trust. But banks have ultimately broken some of the trust in the recent history. And, you know, many people are talking about FSCS protection and so how non-banks, for example, Monese is not a bank. We are providing financial services and we are regulated, but not as a bank. And many people are saying, you don't have a bank license, and therefore £85,000 savings are not protected, and generally this means lack of trust. I would argue that we by law have to safeguard and ring fence 100% of customer funds. So actually, you know, there is it goes beyond 85K as a starting point. But secondly, I would also argue that majority of the customers, you know, we are talking about people who, when there is an emergency situation of £400 of unexpected income, have to reach out for a credit card here. So that's majority of the population. So, you know, who has £85,000? You know, there is very few people who have that money.
Yeah, so in many ways, having a lot more competitors has probably helped Monese in some ways, right? It's forced a few more people to look around and think about their options when it comes to banking and the providers that they want to work with. Moving slightly away from that, how anxious do you think the industry should be with Brexit developments and the possibility of no deal? What do you think that will mean to firms like Monese in practice?
I think fintechs and financial services providers in the UK who are only focused on UK audience and providing services here, perhaps they are a little bit less worried. But those players who are doing any business outside in mainland Europe and so on, I think all these people have made preparations a long time ago. And when the referendum results were announced, I think lots of people started already making preparations. And so did we. So from that front, when it comes to, you know, keeping the service up and running, lights on, and consumer money safe, we are totally prepared for that. You know, when you talk about hiring talent and this talent coming from mainland Europe, I think there is definitely we're going to see some impact when Brexit actually happens.
Are you finding it harder just in general to attract talent? So we saw that last week LinkedIn published its top startups 2019. So you are officially one of the hottest UK companies to work for. Are you a bit surprised that that list was dominated by fintech? The fintech has and banking has actually become quite cool in the last few years for potential employees? Or is that something that you think is actually it's long overdue?
We're very honoured to be in that top list, of course. And but we have also seen that the customers are now very much aware, and sorry, not just customers, but potential hires are very much aware of what's going on in the industry. And they have interviewed with some of our peers as well. And what draws people to Monese is the mission that we are on. And definitely we are on a very positive path here, positive impact path. That's one. And second also is that fintech is attracting tons of money these days. And, you know, many companies have become unicorns and all that. And I think that has attracted lots of noise and attention. And, you know, good talent want to work for good companies that are, you know, well-funded, have a mission and all that. So I think that's two.
You talked about when you hit a million customers not celebrating or celebrating with a cup of tea and moving on. But when you look back in the last 5 years, what do you think the hardest thing has been about growing Monese?
I think for me personally is people. It hasn't been the customer acquisition or licensing or funding or none of that. It's humans, it's people. And if you're growing so fast, so just an example, we were around 100 people or a little bit below 1 year ago. Today we are actually now 350 people. And, you know, with that kind of growth, you just have to watch out for your culture, make sure that when people come and they are properly aligned with what you're trying to achieve here. So I think humans versus technology is where I find that my life is, that's the most challenging bit for me personally.
You talk about challenging bits. Well, look, Norris, it's been an absolute pleasure. Now, next up, it's Skittlemania. We've put 30 Skittles in a cup, and we've given our guest a pair of chopsticks. And over the next 90 seconds, Norris will attempt to get as many Skittles into Cup B as possible. Now, Norris is our debut guest, so his Skittle count will set the benchmark for our confectionery competition. So no pressure at all. Are you ready?
I am ready.
And now, get your chopsticks ready. It's Skittlemania!
So Norris, what is your favourite type of cheese?
It is definitely good old British cheddar.
That's a very good choice. Mature?
Very mature.
Very mature.
Very smelly one.
Very smelly cheddar. If all animals were the same size, what would win in a fight?
I think initially someone hairy and strong will look like a winner, but then I think eventually a smart one will win.
Oh, that's a very in-depth answer. We like that. While we're trying to get some Skittles in Cup B. What toppings don't belong on a pizza?
For me, anchovies are definitely out.
Oh, yes, anchovies. Don't understand that one. Don't understand pineapple either. Pineapples on a pizza. What's your favourite coloured Skittle?
That is definitely Moni's colours, which is blue, green and yellow.
Perfect. Three favourite colour Skittles. We're almost at a minute now, Norris. Are Moni's named after Fitetso Moniz, the Lesothian mountain biker who finished 21st in the 2014 Commonwealth Games in Glasgow?
That's a good coincidence, but no is the answer. So the Moni's name actually was a hard labour of mine for 4 months. I try to create with something that is nice and short and sweet, and every human being in the world would be able to say it out loud without twisting their tongue. And also that's something that reminds you of money.
It's certainly a memorable name. What would be your go-to karaoke song?
Definitely would go something from Coldplay.
And that's it, time's up. Let's see how Norris has done.
Not too bad, actually.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 Skittles for Norris. Well, look, Norris, thank you very much for joining us today. You've been an incredible guest, and we look forward to welcoming you back in the future.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
So that ranked Norris as first of one in the leaderboard. Next week, we'll be welcoming Andrew Monlake from Corico into Seize the Skittles, and who knows, maybe crown a new chopstick champion.
Next up, we spin the Money Bites wheel for our first ever round of Money Spinners. It's the segment where we spin a wheel and deliver you whatever audio option it lands on, be that a karaoke cover, a sponsored silence, or one of our classic reviews. Let's see what we have this week. This week we have a reading of one of our favourite reviews. Take it away, Kathy.
Their adverts should display this bank's a dictatorial dinosaur. Products are less than ordinary. Rates are generally awful. But the most frustrating thing is their online system. Not only do you have this silly, tiny, turn itself off half the time before you manage to press the right button security device, which you need to generate a code to do pretty ordinary things like just send a message to them or even just apply for a new product. I find the most annoying thing is when you have successfully set up a payee and, well, then you want to prove it works, but they will go and delete it without asking or telling you beforehand. Whilst being with them, we have sent forms to them with more than the one form in the envelope. To ensure they were aware that the envelope contained multiple forms, this was clearly and boldly written on both sides of the envelope, as well as inside the opening flap. They processed only the one form and were completely unable to locate the others sent. Apologies were meagre.
I am sorry.
They hardly even acknowledged their own incompetence.
I am sorry.
They do not listen. Other banks and societies who actually consider customer needs are there. I recommend to use them rather than this lot. I've tried to bring up matters directly with them to improve things, but they really do not want to know. So maybe publicly showing people what they might be having to put up with could get this head in the sand attitude to change.
And that's all we have time for on this week's Money Bites. Thank you to Norris Koppel for coming in to chat with us, and to you for listening. Be sure to tune in next week when we ask, do you need mortgage brokers? But before then, please review, subscribe, and why not visit us at Smart Money People. Goodbye.